This is CliffCentral.com. Property,
I'm trying to invest. Money in by the neighborhood, that's how you rinse it. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling, Dumbo.
It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. Buy back the hood. I'm about to buy back the hood. Buy back the hood.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala, only on Cliff Central. I am so excited to start the show today. This is our first show on Cliff Central. We are on every Wednesday from 10 until 11. We are talking lifestyle. We're talking real estate. We're talking property. We're talking ownership. We're talking hashtag bring back our land. Okay, jokes. I have the one and only Rally Mom Peule here with me, and I am so excited. Welcome.
Thank you, Lerato.
This show wouldn't happen without you, so I wanted to first start off with you, and over the next coming shows and few weeks, we'll be talking to different people in real estate and property, and I've interviewed you before, so yes. I'm excited to start a new conversation with you. I'm not alone, though. I'm with somebody that you guys also know.
Uh-oh.
Tedsto, how are you doing?
I'm good, and you good?
I'm good, good. It's nice to actually be back.
Yes.
In the stew.
Refreshing, right?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you are interested in real estate, in being a property mogul, this is the show to listen to. This is the show to listen to. In fact, Riley is my first guest because he has been kind enough to sponsor this show. So the reason why I'm here is because of Riley Mampewulu Property. So I'm quite excited to be chatting to him. So Riley, we have each other for an hour.
Okay.
So what I want to start with, before we tell people your amazing story, I want to start with when you were a little boy. This is what I didn't ask you the first time I interviewed you. What did you want to do with your life? Like, who did you want to be? What did you want for yourself?
Well, thanks, Lerato, for having me in the show. When I was young, like any, in general, most of us, when we meet doctors and lawyers, that's what we want to become. So initially, I wanted to become an attorney.
Really?
And unfortunately, real estate's got a bit of an element of law. So
yes.
I'm definitely enjoying a bit of that within the real estate industry.
So what happened? When did the thing change? The plan change?
Well, the plan changed. So I was in matric, or grade 9 going to
grade 12, right?
Grade 12. The last 3 years,
grade 11, right? Going to grade 12.
Can I just say, Riley and I are 37. So we were there during the standard time.
But so when I was in grade 11 going to grade 12, I was fortunate enough to have been closer to a real estate mogul by the name of Ches Everett. And so I met his son, and you know, during those times, these are the times where you meet people, you ask lawyers, you ask doctors, what does your industry entails? What do you do in the industry? How much money you make?
Yes.
And so I met this young man called Paul Everett, and I spoke to him about the industry. He then mentioned to me the beauty about the passive income of the industry.
Yes.
And obviously the numbers that you can make. So that's when I started to fall in love with the industry.
Yeah.
And a year later, when I was studying for my BCom with UNISA part-time, and I decided to do that because there was an opportunity for me to get into real estate straight after matric.
Mm.
So I went out there and I worked as an assistant estate agent, and to where I am now.
And I will tell you where Riley is now. If you Google real estate moguls in South Africa. He's one of the top five searches that come up. Mm. So that's where he is right now. But I don't want us to focus too much on that. I want us to focus on the journey of how you got here, because a lot of people focus on the end result. Yes. You know, they focus on the cash money, the houses. But before you got there, you grafted. Mm. I mean, you sold Boerewors rolls on the side of the road.
Yes.
Wow.
Did you, when you were standing on the side of the street studying and working, did you have a vision in your mind of where you wanted to be? I mean, were there people you had around you thinking, I want to be like that, I want to have this? I mean, because all of us visualize. People tell you to visualize.
Yeah. So it was quite interesting, Lerato. That story, you know, I said it in passing, but actually now when I look back, it's a story that actually makes me to feel humble about where things are now. So so while I was busy doing my BCom with UNISA, I saw an opportunity that I had a bit of time to be able to establish something for myself. So most of us as entrepreneurs, you dream, you know, dreaming, even if it means that you must sell stock suites at schools, that's part and parcel of you wanting to do something for yourself.
Exactly.
So I used to take my sister to drop them off at school here in Four Ways. And I saw that the Kalami R20, I can't remember the road, but it's on Kalami, that there were a lot of vehicles that were passing there. And I thought, you know what, during lunchtime, sometimes I'm with my sisters, I didn't have time to eat lunch. I said, it would have been great if there was a drive-through here. And during those times, we didn't have a lot of drive-throughs in South Africa. Mm-hmm. But I decided that I'm going to have a stall on the side and sell Boerewors rolls. And I made good money that could help me to pour petrol for me to be able to do marketing for real estate. As I said, I was also working part-time as an estate agent. So sometimes it takes a bit of time from sale to the day that you actually get your money paid in the real estate industry. So I needed to complement it with a bit of a cash flow. So I really enjoy that. And it was very interesting.
So a lot of people listening. Okay, so you see, there have been articles all over the place about how much of land belongs to who in South Africa. I mean, I was looking at the stats over the past couple of days, and that sort of like white people own 47% of the land. And then the other stats that say black South Africans own 92% of the land. And then the question that I ask myself is, but where? Hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we may own 92%, but where is it? And, yeah, and that's where I started getting interested, because in real estate, because one of the things you like to say, and this is really Riley's perfect line, so we've already painted it, don't even try, is that you don't necessarily need money to make money in real estate.
Real estate, yeah.
And so whenever I say that to people, and I've been telling people about our podcast coming up, people have been saying, what does he mean? What does that actually mean? There's no such thing. And in a country where there's inflation and all these things, Riley, contextualize what you mean.
So you will see that there's a couple of things that happens in the country. So I'm not going to go and bore you with the statistics of who owns who what in South Africa.
Yeah.
Most of people are familiar with that. But the whole concept that says, and by the way, there's going to be a book coming up called You Do Not Need Money to Make Money in Real Estate.
Yes.
So if you just imagine yourself, in South Africa, you're allowed to sell anything as long as if you can be able to pass transfer at the end of the day.
Right.
So I can sell the whole of South Africa if I want to you, Lerato, as long as if I'll be able to pass transfer without owning it.
Yes. Okay.
So I'll just give an example. So when I was studying the real estate industry, I had a developer who wanted to sell 60 units, and I was an estate agent. So I went on the side and I stood there under the umbrella, and I realized that actually there's a demand for this 60 units. So I then decided that I'm going to go buy this whole development. So imagine a developer there, there's a multi-millionaire developer.
I mean, the chutzpah to do that.
You know, so I said, look, I'm going to offer you 28 million rand for the whole development. And I knew that I can be able to sell it for at least 34 million rand.
Wow.
So within, and I said to him, you need to give me 90 days for me to give you guarantees. So I called different people that I know and I said, would you like to make money in real estate? So I had a lot of investors coming over the weekend. And I sold So I said to Lerato, Lerato, I can make you own 4 units. This was during the good times where with your own salary, you could be able to buy 4 units.
Yes.
And a lot of people wanted to come to real estate. So I then sold those 4 units to Lerato, Ajawi, and different people.
Yeah.
And I used those different guarantees to go and give the 28 million rand guarantees to the developer. But the sale value was at about 34 million rand. So at 21, one made, you can do the numbers, one made money. So those are some of the examples.
You were 21?
Yes.
I feel like such an underachiever.
So
that's what you mean.
That's what I mean. So imagine yourself now where in this instant what has happened. I did not have to put any down payment. All you had to do is to make sure that you listen to hear who wants to buy property and who wants to sell property.
Right.
And put the thing together. And that's it.
So, yeah. You know, really for a lot of people, they think, okay, but you are already in real estate. So if I'm not, if I'm Jabu from somewhere, how do I even listen, learn? You know, that's what you said, you need to listen. How do I even, where do I start? If I'm just listening to this podcast, by the way, you can catch us on cliffcentral.com every Wednesday from 10 until 11. So where would people start?
Well, let me tell you something. I mean, just look at even students. You know, students can get into an apartment where you're studying in Pretoria.
Right.
And you can go and buy an apartment whereby somebody owns that apartment and actually they probably don't have a bond on it.
Mm.
What you could possibly do is you go there and say, look, I'll lease this apartment, and you then get 4 or 5 students that you can stay with in an apartment. So each of them pay you some kind of an amount. You take that money, you put it into your bank account. I can tell you that after 3 to 6 months, the bank can see that you're actually having income that is coming. And you pay your landlord, but also because you're getting an income on a monthly basis, the bank can be able to start lending you money that you can start into buying units that you can rent them out to students.
You see, when you say it like that, it sounds so doable, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like this insurmountable thing that you absolutely cannot do.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people who are going to be listening to this show, and throughout we're going to be talking about different ways you can get into real estate, whether it is commercial or residential, but all of us are capable of making a success of ourselves and actually being a part and owning real estate, right?
Precisely.
Yeah. So when you found yourself at 21 with all that money, do you remember what you did with it? Because we must talk about some fun things.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
When you're 21, Will Smith made so much money with The Fresh Prince. I think he blew like $2 million, and he was broke. I mean, did you wild out?
So as you know, most of us at that age, what do you expect? So obviously you buy the fancy cars and you do all of that. But fortunately enough, I mean, I've made mistakes. I've made money. I've lost money. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I get wary when entrepreneurs tell me that they've never lost money, because it sounds like it's just a game. You can learn from other people, but you're bound to find yourself in some corner that you have to find yourself out of it. So yes, I enjoyed myself. I had a good time. But what I did, I used the money obviously to buy the fancy cars, but used the fancy cars to get more business. Because
yes.
When I rocked up at Lerato's house and I want to sell her house, she sees me in a nice, I think then, I don't know what cars were there, but I mean, I think I bought like one of those convertible Mercedes-Benz SLK.
Yes.
And that was still hot, you know, with a hot top, you know. And when I get to your house and I say, hey, my name is Riley Mampela, I'd like to sell your townhouse, you're going to take me serious because,
yeah.
You know, you think this is a successful estate agent. So any success, people want to work with successful people. So I've used the fancy cars to actually get more business during those time when I was young. Now we're talking a different story now.
you know what I love when Riley says it's a different story now. He's less flashy, but you know, it's still in there.
I still got it.
And I just want to remind you that Living It Up with Lerato Shabela is brought to you by Riley Properties. You can go to www.Riley.mampeule.co.za to get more information. So now you haven't only made sure that you benefit yourself.
Mm.
throughout time, you've also established a learnership. What was the core thing for you starting the learnership?
Yeah, so you can imagine this is an industry that we have less than 10% black participation, and it's been like that for sure. More than 15 years probably now. So one of the things that in 2006 and 2007, I won the South African Property Professional of the Year award. And
I'd give you a hand clap.
Thank you for that. And as part of me giving back, I created a learnership that is called the Rally Mampelo Learnership. And basically what we were doing there was to bring new blood into the old vein of the real estate industry. And essentially we're giving sponsorship, and we still do give sponsorship to anyone who might be interested into getting to real estate, because now we formalize the industry. It's got its own education that you can actually study real estate. There's about two or three universities in South Africa now that are actually teaching real estate. So we sponsor students that want to do that. You know, obviously I do a lot of mentoring and speaking and meeting people to help them to get into the industry. So we are all on the drive to make sure that we've got more black ownership in the country. It must be done in a proper way, because if we just do it from political point of view, we might find ourselves probably in a way where Zim is now. So there are other ways that we can really buy back the block. What's the song saying?
Yeah, you gotta buy back the block. Yeah.
So it is. I mean, you know, yesterday I was at Maboneng in Johannesburg, and I looked at that precinct. I said, it's amazing, it's beautiful, but let's just be honest. Again, it's still a group of white people
that have
changed that thing. And that saddens me to say we need to get more black people getting involved in this opportunity. And there are ways to get involved. As I said, you do not need money to own real estate.
So less than 10%. I mean, when you think about that realistically, black people make up about 87% of the population. Mm. And yet there's less than 10% of black people participating in real estate. Why? Are we not interested? Like, what's the reason?
I mean, you can imagine, Lorato, it's not only the sector where there's less black participation. There's other sectors like mining and others. However, specifically talking about real estate, obviously there was a law where black people were not allowed to own real estate. But also most black people, we owned houses in the homelands, in the townships, yeah. And you know, there's a culture of saying that no, we're not going to sell our house, but we need to start looking at real estate as an investment, not only a place where you sleep and you've got your ancestors and all of that. There are opportunities for you to be able to build family wealth through real estate. If you look at Soweto alone, Soweto is worth a couple of billions. It's unbonded, so meaning that they don't have bonds. So you'll see most of our grandmothers had a home in Soweto, and it's a four-room. Either they got it during the apartheid time, or some of them have extended, actually borrowed money with the bank, but they've paid off because it would have been 20 years later.
Yes.
That becomes an asset where now if Lorato takes over that house as a family home, there's an asset that is worth 400 or 500 million sometimes. You can then borrow that money and actually go start business with that 400,000 to create jobs and opportunities. So black people are sitting on billions of rands that are unbonded. So if you look at most of the white areas and property assets that are owned by white people, they are mostly geared, meaning that there's bond on them. So they use that to gear themselves up to make sure that they can have cash flow to be able to activate other opportunities.
Mm.
So we need to start looking at real estate in that point of view.
I mean, one of the things we're going to talk about next month around sort of Heritage Day is houses in the townships that are, in fact, you said you've got a lot of properties that you'll be able to show us, and people can go to our Facebook page, which is Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala, and look at these properties next month. But when you think about it in realistic terms, these days you can also make money off that four-room property. Think of people in Dube, in Mfulo, around those precincts where there's a lot of international people coming to visit. You can turn the house into a guest house. If you want to make money off it, you can rent it out as an Airbnb house. And so when people come to Mandela's house or Desmond Tutu's house, or, you know, anywhere around Vilakazi Street, they can sleep over at your place. There are many other things that we can do. And I feel, as you say, that we're sleeping on a gold mine. I mean, I wasn't aware that Soweto is worth that many billions. I mean, it's deep.
No, it's a situation where we really have to capitalize on it. And like you're saying, I mean, properties now in the townships are quite expensive. Mm. So I'm looking forward to your show next time when you're speaking about township properties. I think it's going to be very interesting.
I think it'll be interesting because, you know why? Because I think a lot of people undervalue property in townships. A lot of people kind of think, oh, it's the hood. No, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean anything. But with the population growing and growing all the time, it's another way for you to make money, is to use the family home instead of squabbling over it. And you know, us black people, we're always squabbling over the family home. Instead of doing that, let's just agree as families to actually make it an investment, mm-hmm. right? And we just don't. Do you think that we as a people struggle with investment because we think loads of papers and banks, and do you think that's why we struggle with investment, or is just a lack of information?
I think mainly is a lack of information, but you will know that a lot of the financial sector has sort of before they close up on black people coming in. I mean, and that's why it's important that there should be black owned businesses that are, you know, either the stock exchanges or the banks that are black owned, because a lot of people actually get frustrated with the financial institutions. So let me give you an example. A lot of young people who are busy earning 20,000-30,000 rand a month, when they go and apply for a home loan,
yes,
in most cases they get declined on the basis that the financial sector says that you need to have 30% of that to be able, of your salary, to be able to pay your bond. And they use all these jargons at the back engine that actually at the end of the day decline you. But you go and you apply for a GTI.
They give you the money.
A week later, they give you the money because the financial sector is designed in that manner that it's easy for the banks to give you a finance for a GTS. What do you call that? Sorry, GTI. Sorry. Yes. GTI, not the Porsche, but they cannot give you money for a home loan. That's sad. So those are some of the things that we need to look at, because once you get that GTI, I can tell you now that a month or 3 months later, if you haven't increased your salary, even if you're now ticking the boxes of the stuff that you needed to tick, the banks are going to tell you that no, you are over indebted. Now you are paying for this car, and it's going to be difficult for you to sell the car to go buy a house. Now you end up renting. You know, so there are ways that we need to look at it. And I'm saying with the new financial institutions that are coming in, we need to really look at that to say, let's allow young people to be able to first buy a home. And now you can use Uber to go to school, because obviously a car is not an investment.
No, it's not. But it depreciates the moment it leaves the lot.
Exactly. So you rather have a home loan, and later on when you get an increase, then you can be in a position where you can be able to buy the nice car.
Yeah.
So that's how the system is designed. I mean, I've seen it in real life, because I used to sell houses to people, and they just couldn't get a bond. And the next time he passes by, I said, well, I want to rent, and he's coming in a brand new car.
And yeah, and you know, so why that touches me. So a lot of people are going to ask and say to me, well, how come you are interested in property? And the reason why, I bought my first property when I was 24. My parents were very much like, we didn't own anything, we didn't have anything, and we don't want you to have a fancy car and not have a good place to live. Mm. Okay. And one of the things I realized is that people congratulated me, like I had done this amazing thing and found a cure for cancer. Wow. When the truth of the matter is that it was an investment for me, and it allowed me a couple of years later to buy my second house before I turned 30. Mm. And if I learned anything, is it's that a lot of people are scared when they see numbers, 20 years, you know, when you're signing that bond, it says 25 years, and you just see your life passing you by. But I started realizing that investing in property was important, and that when you have a good place, when you roll up in the car, then you feel good. It's not the other way around. You know, where you roll up in the GTI, but you know, and you've seen those memes, but no crib.
Yeah.
And it's sad for us because you kind of think this. I didn't realize how much the banks have to do with it. Can you get around that? How do you get around it? Because a lot of people are saying the National Credit Act, ever since it was passed, made it incredibly difficult for people. And obviously it happened during that time after the boom. You know, the boom was from 2000 to 2006. And then there was the crisis.
Yeah.
The financial crisis.
Yeah. So what we've done, I mean, there's a couple of, we've got the property charter, we've got the South African Black Property Practitioners Associations, who and other financial sector groups that are busy or have given written submission to the NCR to basically say, relook at this whole thing of the NCA, where exactly what I mentioned earlier on happens, where you know it's easy to buy a car versus buying your home. So hopefully there'll be some sort of changes that needs to happen, so that the bank can start talking to the mass and let the mass be able to own properties.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we all want. You're tuned into Cliff Central. If you are just tuned in for the first time, my name is Lerato Shabalala. This is our podcast, are on every Wednesday from 10 until 11. Remember that the show is brought to you by Raleigh Properties. Raleigh is an R-A-L-I, and the man is here himself with me. I wanted to ask you, Raleigh, about the practicalities of looking at real estate and not being scared when you go into boardrooms and you're like the 1%. How important is it for you to bring other people who look like you to the table? Because, you know, there's this perception that a lot of black people, when they get to the top, they kick the ladder down and then they wave goodbye to the people at the bottom, like, see ya! And you have consciously decided not to do that. What's the driver? Why can't you just, like, enjoy the, you know...
Well, Lorette, I'm enjoying the little success that we have currently, but at the same time, you know, like anywhere in the country, you can't be the only one driving in a Rolls Royce in Waterfall, because everybody's going to put a gun on you and take the car so they can sell that car to buy food.
Yeah.
So I think in general, as a country, we all need to give back and make sure that we can help people to join our different industries that we all involve in. That's how we need to help each other. So, but I'm in a game where I'm a property developer, so I've got both commercial, real estate and industrial assets, and the same people that you can help today to get into the industry to make money are the same people that can come tomorrow and buy. So when we do our talks, so you'll see now we've just started a new thing. It's called I think we call it the Raleigh Property Club.
Okay.
And the whole concept about the Raleigh Property Club, it has to do with us educating young people, because I spoke here on radio now about all these things that sound all tricky, that you can buy the development without any money, you can buy this without any money. But we actually take it further to train you, to say, how do you do it? And once we've trained you, that's empowering you. And when we've got developments, you can come and buy some of our units. So giving back, you help yourself as well.
You see, this is why I think it's so important for you to be here in studio chatting to me, because even though the show is sponsored by you, you do things over and above, you know what?
Yeah.
You could just easily, as you say, Waterfall, driving the Porsche, forgetting the people, but you bring people in. So is there a criteria to be part of the Raleigh Property Club?
So what will happen is that we in summer, just now in summer, we're going to be going on a road show, probably... We'll tell Lerato as well on her show. She might announce it so that people can get to know about it and join the club. But basically, it's not as college, it's nothing. It's basically just talk shows where we talk about how to get into the real estate industry. How do you make money in real estate without using your money or without using money? So so that's up and coming, where we're going to be doing the different drive show throughout the 9 provinces, and training people on how to get into real estate as investors.
I mean, you should have a halo around you. You're doing such great things. So you need to just go to Rally, R-A-L-I, is it a dash? Yes, it is a dash. MAMPEULE.CO.ZA to find out more about how you can join the Rally Property Club, but as well as the learnership, which is a huge part of what you do. So, what are the trends that we can look forward to this year? You know, so one of the, I have a book called The Way I See It, which turned one just last month.
And congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's a bestseller. We have sold all 6,000 copies that we bought and we printed. And the thing is, in South Africa, a bestseller is 5,000 copies for nonfiction. Wow. So literally, it's the most amazing thing that has happened. But the book sort of went huge because I spoke about builders and how, you know, you get Upudmandla, who's going to do the pool, who's going to paint, who's going to do everything. And the truth of the matter is that you can't do, you know, you can't do everything. And a lot of people want to renovate their homes to make them better. But so many of us see houses in the hood that are not complete, you know, where it's leaking and people are still like waiting for somebody to finish the renovations. I just wanted to know from you. And if you look also at TV trends, so many shows about renovations, about homes, about, and you can tell this is a huge thing globally, not just in South Africa. What would you say are some of the things which people should be looking at? If somebody's listening right now, and once again, you can catch us on cliffcentral.com, and they're thinking, I want to get into property. What are some of the trends in property at the moment?
Well, currently, there's a lot of opportunities where people can get involved on a commercial side.
Okay.
It's an element where there's a new charter that has come in now, and the property charter has been signed off, which is a legal document that says that all the listed companies and unlisted property assets that are holding billions and billions of real estate should be able to have at least 26% of there must be 26% be owned. So there's opportunities there for Stockfell groups to get together and actually go and approach the guys like ATAC or who owns Mall of Africa and go there and say, listen, we're a group of women, we want to get into real estate, we've saved ourselves R1 million, we want to get funding from the likes of PIC and we want to buy shares into your business. And I can tell you that now most of those listed companies are looking for groups like that. That's one of the opportunities that one can get into. There's obviously an opportunity now where the Minister of Human Settlements has a backlog of over a million properties that they need to build for affordable housing.
Okay.
And there's opportunities there for us facing the, I think we're in Women's Month already.
Yes, we are. By the way, happy Women's Month, everybody.
Yes. So there's opportunities for women in construction, that women can get involved in building, getting involved in building of these RDP houses and constructions and renovations. So again, we, as part of being given back, but this is also part of business, we've created a new fund called the South African Housing and Infrastructure Fund, SAHIF. And basically what it does is it's a mezzanine finance where if you go and you get a contract with the municipality as a young black South African and you do not have the money nor the skills to be able to do renovations and do painting and all of those things, we will come in actually give a mezzanine finance to say you've got a tender for 1,000 units to build, but government can't give you money before you build. So we'll come in and say we will invest, say you need R2-3 million, we'll give you the R2-3 million for you to actually go and deliver the service, and when you get in, and then you can invoice and be able to be paid. But as part and parcel of that, we then have mentors that come from different industries, being painting, construction, or renovation, that can be able to mentor you as project managers to make sure that you do the proper things. So one of the things that you, but this is a condition for us to be able to borrow you the money.
Okay.
But as you were saying, we want to make sure that as black people, we can be able to be in a position where if you have a renovation of a home that you're doing in Soweto, you complete it in a way that the quality is there, so that we can still support each other as black people, because that is what we're scared of, because people just don't do the right job.
Yeah.
So hopefully the small things that we're trying to do in the industry can be able to make a difference.
I think there is no doubt that those things are going to make a difference. I want to talk about mentorship, but I think a huge part of it is that people have the natural ability to do something, but not the skill to do it properly, if I'm making any sense. Like, a lot of people will know how to do simple things like paint and whatever, but they don't know. It's like the fun. Yeah, exactly. The master of none.
Yes.
And part of it is knowing how to master something, because you can only do better once you have mastered something. So as Riley was saying, it is Women's Month, and next week, Wednesday, is Women's Day. I'm going to be having two great women in property, because we've got to talk. I mean, we've got to talk about the ladies that are doing the most. And Portia Tawusikati and Vuyela Muchakwana are going to be here chatting to me, and I'm just incredibly excited to have ladies talk to me about what it is like to be in real estate in this country. One of the people I admire is Oprah, and she's got like a ranch here and a house here and an apartment there. And one of the things you said to me, Riley, is a lot of the people with loads of money in the world have invested in property in some way, and it's becoming increasingly clear that this is the way. I mean, obviously I'm not saying everybody must now go and try and get into property, but it is an incredible investment to
but you know what, I actually wanted to know, like, how do you go about, like, buying an island? Because I always see that on, like, TV and stuff.
You want to be like Richard Branson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know the actual engine story, the engine background of all that works. But I can tell you now that generally in a country, land belongs to government.
Yeah.
So, for example, when you're doing mining, that asset or those minerals belongs to government. So you need to apply and get a prospecting rights to be able to mine. So my layman language thinking on that part of buying an island will be to say that you'll apply with government to say, I've identified this island, nobody's using it, can I get a 99-year lease so that I can work on it? And government can give you that 99-year lease. But generally people will say, well, I own an island, because then they've got a lease.
Yeah.
I don't think they actually can get a title deed, because you know, it would have been belonging to government, but you can turn a lease into a sale. So if that specific government can allow you to buy that island, then you can do that. So I think most of them will be on a 99-year lease.
Okay.
I can tell you now that in South Africa, I don't think we've got a lot of people on the island. try and go and buy the Robben Island now.
Yeah, I would imagine.
A lot of politics.
Exactly.
But if you got a concept, and the chance that the municipality of Cape Town will be the owner of that island, and they can allow you to do some stuff if there was no activities on that specific
island. If it wasn't like a national monument.
Yeah.
You spoke about mentorship. Can you tell me about who has mentored you over the last 15 plus years of your career?
You know, Lerato, I'm glad you asked me that question. I think, you know, the word role model, we all take it very light. But, you know, if you're coming from Kokasi or anywhere, I mean, how do you know that you could actually own a beautiful property in Sandhurst? How do you know? Imagine yourself, I was born in a village and in Limpopo called Mokwasele. And I got exposed to stuff in Johannesburg through my dad when he was working here. My brother went to go study in the U.S. He got a bursary during those times of apartheid. When he got back, he was my role model.
Mm.
And I spent a lot of time with him. He got back, but obviously because he has worked hard and studied hard overseas, when he got back here, there were opportunities for him. So he obviously started to stay in the suburbs and all of those things. Mm. And I got exposed to that. And, I mean, I remember him, you know, doing nice landscaping at his home. And, you know, at that time, I was still in high school, and I'd be like, you know, wow, this is what you can actually do. You can actually spend $100,000 on landscaping on your house because you're adding value into your property, not just to show off, but to make sure that. So, role model. So, one of my role models was my brother, and he still is, Kutso Mampeule. And he mentored me. He gave me the light. I could see. Sometimes you don't even have to talk. You just have to look at a guy. You know, if your role model is a celebrity or a singer, you just see what they do, and sometimes they don't even have to talk. But it'll say something to your heart to say, wow, I can do this.
Yes.
Maybe today somebody is probably listening and thinking, wow, I can own 1,000 hectares, because Rali is young, he's 37, and he does own land. I could probably be able to do that. Mm. And so I think having role models, especially as black people, goes a long way.
Yes, indeed.
Because that just gives you the stuff that you, wow, I can do this.
I mean, I now I'm going to get so esoterical and spiritual, but when I interviewed you last year, I had been asking, like, I want to get into property. I think I even said it to you too. Mm-hmm. And then my former producer, Bashida MyBC, said to me, oh, we have a guest who's coming up. And you sat across from me, and I remember during the musical breaks, I said to you, you were sent to me, because sometimes it's not a straight line to who's going to mentor you. Sometimes, as you say, you don't even meet them, you don't sit with them. Mm. But, and I'm very lucky that I can with you. Mm. But for a lot of people, it's just people from afar. You know, the thing about mentorship is that you can watch somebody be themselves, and that can inspire you. And so now, as you're established, I think the role models and mentorship doesn't stop. Who are the people, okay, you don't have to name names, yes, but who are the people right now, yeah, who are sort of your big brothers, your big sisters, the people who are going to help you get to the next level? And we'll talk about, before we go, what the next level will be for you.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, currently where I am now, I want to build my business in a way that I can obviously list it in the stock market. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of one or two players, and you know,
we bless it. By the way, you. We bless it.
Thank you.
Oh yeah.
But I mean, we've got quite other black role models in the industry that are doing very well. I mean, if you look at the likes of Sisa and Gebulana. Who's got is probably the first black guy to list a property fund. Mm. He's doing very well. He's got probably a market cap of over 28 billion, if not more.
And he is worth 400 million, just in case you're interested.
Yeah, you know. and so those are some of the people that are our role model. But, you know, we all have find ways on how to get to the same place. So coming to your studio this morning, my driver had to go another way, and I said, listen, you have to do a U-turn because Lerato is waiting for me. Let's go this way. So we got here. So the point that I'm trying to say is that there are different ways to get to the same place.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean that if Riley started by selling Biravo's rolls, that you must do the same. Doesn't mean that Riley is into the real estate where he sells houses. I must sell houses. You could start now with big opportunities where we become bigger than ourselves. So I'm quite excited. So I have one or two role models that I look up to, but I'm at a stage where now...
Don't be modest. Don't be modest.
You know, it's about, you know, I think I know where I could go and what I could do.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I saw you. Did you see Riley like trying not to sound cocky? I always say, I always quote Maya Angelou, who said that modesty is for liars. So if you've worked very hard for something, acknowledge it. For those of you who've just tuned in, you've missed 45 minutes. Where have you been?
Oh, yeah.
This is Living It Up with Lerato Shabala. My guest today is actually also the man sponsor during the show. His name is Rally Mampiwule. You can go to rally-mampiwule.co.za to learn more about him, the learnership, the Rally Property Club, and connect with the man. Find out more about him and the things that he's doing. Over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to have one of my favorite interior designers, one of the most respected interior designers in the country, Ntabita Wukubong, here with me talking about how you can spruce up your house and make it gorgeous and great. We're going to have different people telling you how not only to buy property, keep property, and make money of it. So, Riley, what haven't you done that you would like to do? And I just mean in general.
Wow. that's an interesting question. I think I think it depends from the business point of view or from personal.
Both.
Private. Both.
Mm.
So I think one of the things that I haven't done is to really spend time with my family in a way that will have some real good memories. So one of the things that I want to do is just take a whole month and actually travel the US with my family.
That's lovely.
And just take off. I've got friends of mine who don't work on Mondays. You know, because they've just done so well for themselves.
And
I'm really thinking of doing something like that. You know, so it's quite interesting. But on the business side, what I haven't done, I haven't listed a property fund, and I'm almost there.
You're almost there.
Yeah.
So let's talk about family. You have children. Where do you find the time to even like do daddy stuff? Because your hustle is so strong. I know that your hustle is strong.
Yeah. So I think what's interesting, Lerato, being in real estate, and that's one of the things that made me to want to get into real estate, is that there's opportunities for you to earn what we call a passive income.
Mm.
So passive income is money that you earn even when you're sleeping. So if you end up working hard.
Yes.
You know, if you end up working hard and you're owning a shopping center, either you woke up this morning or tomorrow morning, at the end of the day, Lerato selling her hair in that shop will have to make sure that they pay rent for you. So that gives me a bit of time for me to be able to spend time with my family. So I try and get home sometimes before my boys sleep. And if they are sleeping, I normally go to their bed and check and actually give them a kiss on the head and make sure that they sleep. And I really do that, honestly, genuinely. So, so that's quite interesting. So the industry actually does allow you to do that because of the nature of the passive income. You will need to work hard to put the opportunities together. And once you've done that, you can then be able to sort of step back and projects come as and they go. And they then produce you the passive income to be able to have time to spend with your family.
Yeah, which I think is what everybody wants. We want the hustle to be strong and straight, but we also do want to have downtime.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, sound old cliche, but what's the use of having money and you don't have the time?
Exactly.
So you will see. I don't know if I told you that I'm not going to be here, obviously, when you're having your two guests, but I'll be listening because you guys are, you know, .com. So
yes,
I'll be listening. So I'm going to Spain with my boys and family.
Fantastic.
And what we're going to do, we're just going to watch the. I'm not even a big fan of soccer, but my boys love soccer.
Yeah.
So we're going to watch Messi and Ronaldo.
Wow.
I think it's on the 14th of August, but I'm leaving on the 8th. So we'll be there for 7 days. So I'm taking off. So that gives me a bit of time. Again, my business will be running while I'm spending time with everybody at home.
And like Riley says, we are .com. It's cliffcentral.com. You can listen to us whether you are in Victoria Island in Nigeria or Brooklyn, New York, or Joburg, South Africa. You can listen to us anywhere, and you can get the podcast on cliffcentral.com anytime. So, what are some of the places you've enjoyed going to? Traveling is one of the things you and I share as a passion. So what are some of the places that you think, places that you keep going back to?
Yeah. Look, I mean, I mentioned earlier on, so I've done the US a couple of times and the different cities simply because when you're there, the guys just motivate you.
I mean,
so I went to different states for different workshops in real estate on my own.
Yeah.
Obviously not much with family. We've probably done it once, but the key thing is that I like to go to places that when you get back, you look back, you say, wow, this is so motivation. Why can't we have this in the country? Why can't I do that? So the typical Dubai, I mean, obviously once you go a couple of times, it can get a bit tiring.
Yeah, tedious.
But
yeah,
the first time around, you get motivated, you get back, you're like, wow, look at what these guys have done as a country. So why can't we do that? So I've done that. But one of my best trips that I've ever done was actually traveling to an island in Hawaii. This was an American island in Hawaii. You almost go around the world. It's so far, but it's such an amazing place. And it's such a coincidence that that's where Obama.
Well, I was about to say that's where President Obama
holidays.
Comes
yeah,
from.
It's a
yeah,
beautiful place. Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to say that is Barry, as they used to call it.
I wanted to also ask, have you been to Hong Kong?
I haven't been to Hong Kong. It's actually my next place that I'll probably want to go. I got a friend of mine who goes there quite often.
The real estate is booming that side, and I think it was actually beautiful seeing how they had like 50 buildings or so in town just developing amongst like another 100 of those.
Wow.
It's crazy.
No, no, I've been told that, and it's definitely a place that one must go check it out.
I also haven't been. It's in the top five places that I should see.
So you know, right, I like listening to music. You know, we're speaking, you know.
Okay. I was about to actually ask you about, because a lot of people, you heard our show opener is funked up. And it's funked up thanks to Teddy, but it's also funked up because both you and I, Riley, as we said, we're 37, we're young, we're hip-hop listeners, and music is a huge driver in terms of telling people about, you know, what Jay-Z says about, I could have brought this property and it would have been X amount, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, music is a huge thing.
Yeah, so one of the things is that, you know, for me, traveling and maybe looking at investing in overseas, you know, this hip-hop star, sometimes you just listen to what they say. And I drive like a Maybach. One of the things that made me to buy a
Maybach.
Did
you hear that? Because he just made it.
But listen to this, because the rapper rapped about it, and that motivated me to sort of look at that. So one of the things that I do besides listen to what cars they drive is to listen where they're buying the properties. You know, so you'll hear Ricky Ross just spoke about in one of his album now that he's bought a property in Dubai. And it's all about the hype sometimes in real estate. Maboneng is about the hype. It's about everything, and that's real estate. So I'm starting to look at those type of areas where people are talking about Toronto or Dubai or whatever.
Nice. Yes, you know? Yes.
So it's quite interesting for me to listen to that. So you know, it can't just be all about hard money and this. You gotta have fun. So I really enjoy what Teddy has done as well in the music side to do with real estate. And I see a lot of rappers these days, even in South Africa, are starting to rap about real estate. AKA he speaks about real estate. He doesn't only speak about the fancy cars. So it's quite interesting that and that's how it should be.
Yeah, and we actually wanted to get AK on today, but he was so busy. He didn't manage to make it on the show. I mean, even somebody like a Casper Nyovest, who's just also bought property for his family. You've got DJ Euphonic, who also invests in property. It is a thing for everybody's realizing how important it is to invest, but also to have fun. To have fun. So one of my friends owns an apartment in town, like a penthouse in town.
Wow.
And he renovated it himself. He's like a bachelor. He's 40 plus. He did everything himself. And he's managed now to take an entire year off because he's the house is on Airbnb. So all the internationals who pay in dollars and pounds come here. And he literally is making money in his sleep.
Yep.
And, you know, he's now able to enjoy his life and take some time off because he made that investment. And here's the other thing. He didn't actually spend loads of money. He went to the same shops that we all go to, you know, the Mr. Prices, and did slight renovations and some great furniture and took some magical pictures. And no, I mean, to charge people in dollars for a house in Joburg, that is so smart. And that's the thing, you've got to surround yourself with people who make you realize.
No, definitely. I mean, so real estate is really one of those industries that can make a difference in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, so as I told you when I was a youngster, it was also to say which industries are people making the real money, you know?
Yes.
So mining came up and real estate was one of the top. And that's one of the industry that I really thought that we could do. So it can make a difference in your life.
I think it'll make a huge difference in your life. And as I say, over the next couple of weeks, we will be live from 10 until 11 on Wednesdays talking about how you, hashtag bring back our land, can also get into real estate, whether it is, whether you're a builder, whether you're it's decorating, everything you need to know, the trends. This is the show that you're going to have to listen to. We are live on cliffcentral.com. As I said to you, leaving it up with Lerato Shabla, brought to you by Rally Properties. Go to rally-mampeule.co.za to get more information on how you can be part of the Rally Property Club, as well as find out more about the learnership. We are going to sign out now, and we will see you next week. Rally, it has been amazing having you here.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me, Lerato.
And I'm just going to force myself as and make you my mentor.
No problem.
Because I'm also trying to drive a Maybach. Make no mistake.
You ain't got to tell me twice.
No, you know what I'm saying. Hey. You know what I'm saying. It has been good to have you hang out with us. We hope you feel inspired today, that you also are capable of getting your slice of the property market and real estate in this country. We're going to play it for you one more time so you know we're trying to invest on property. And we will catch you next week on cliffcentral.com. Like I say, 10 to 11. My name is Lerato Shabala. Thank you so much to you, Rally Mambo.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Property. I'm trying to invest.
Money in by the neighborhood. That's how you rinse it. I could have bought a place in Dumbo before it was Dumbo for like $2 million. That same building today is worth $25 million. Guess how I'm feeling, Dumbo.
It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. It's time to buy back the block. Buy back the block. Buy back the hood. I'm about to buy back the hood. Buy back the hood.
This is CliffCentral.com.